CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. What's happening, everybody? Da 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 da. Yes, it's a beautiful Wednesday. I do love to wake up in the rain. It's one of my favorite things in the universe.
When you hear it, just tapping on the roof.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so
gently.
So nice. But I didn't hear it because I had the fan on in my room, and then I woke up.
Same for me.
Yeah, it's like, as soon as I turned the fan off, I'm like, oh yes, it is raining. I love to go from my front door to my car in the rain. I love it. Love it. I'm like, this is exciting. I'm living in the real world. I know that there are miserable people who live in, you know, houses with the leaky roofs and shit lives, and they hate the rain when it comes down because it means they have to change their whole schedule that day, and traffic's probably going to be a nightmare. But you know what? We need the rain, number one. Number two, there is something magical about it. I don't know what it is. I always used to love it. I told Sia as a kid, meant I wouldn't have to do sport at school that day.
Yes.
You know who hates the rain? Cats.
Jeez, they hate.
And what I've got four miserable cats at
home. All right.
Cats do not like rain, huh?
Oh,
gee, they
so
are,
miserable.
It makes them so unhappy. They
well, and they look at me like it's my fault.
Yeah, well, cats.
They're looking for the answers at you.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, similarly to my mother. My mother's not happy right now.
Well, what's her problem?
She thinks the end is now. We are all dying.
What?
With a tornado in KZN.
Oh,
these are
right,
end of days.
Because they lived there and it's been pretty hectic.
Oh, I had such an awkward situation last night. I just happened to be talking to my sister who was at home with, you know, our family home in Durban yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother hears of the news of the tornado. She slips into stage 7 panic mode. So to anyone who thinks I'm dramatic, please now refer all of those comments to Ntombizodwa Sangweni, because she was just not having it at all. She commands the entire family into the lounge because now she's going to pray.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's a big thing.
Doomsday, right. It's happening, this is it. And Sia, who happens to be on the line, is also going to be part of the prayer.
Yes.
See, you were Skyped in.
You were Skyped into the prayer, right?
You know, Skype would be a little better if you're using your laptop, you're sitting in one place. I was in the car at this point, and I thought, oh, okay, well, we're praying. Should I have my eyes closed? No, that doesn't really happen. And I was pulling into my place. I was like, oh, I don't know. Now, should I sit? But then I just got home as well, and I was feeling a little peckish. Should we carry on with the prayer while I'm making a little snack?
Put it on mute and eat your sandwich.
I felt so bad. It was easily like 20 minutes of my afternoon yesterday. She was properly having a meltdown.
Well, has the rain stopped or is it still going?
I think like I haven't caught up with her personally, but I caught up with my sister who is working in Pietermaritzburg, and that's just closer to where the tornado was seen as
so
opposed
it's a
to
proper
Durban.
Tornado?
Yeah.
Oh
proper
yeah.
Tornado.
Shit.
Ripped out trees.
Oh no.
Some people that's lost
horrible.
Their lives.
Oh, some people
horrible.
Are missing.
Oh my god.
So it was in New Hanover and Greytown, both north of Pietermaritzburg.
Mm. Okay, well I'm really sorry. I knew there was a lot of rain, but this is incredible.
Look, when I first saw the clips, I thought it was fake.
Mm.
I'm thinking, what? South Africa? No tornado? No, this is not happening. But yeah, once the SA Weather Service confirms it, once...
That is something else. It's a
isn't
like
creepy?
It's one of those twisters you see in the American movies.
Yeah,
it looks straight out of America.
And we're not exaggerating, by the way. You can see this on YouTube.
So it's my mother isn't too crazy
terrifying.
For having a stage 7 meltdown.
Wow.
And summoning all of us and praying for our protection here. It is creepy. I think what made it worse was that the tornado hit a lot of electric... pylons and wires. I think
so it pulls out the power and oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my word.
This is really scary.
Yeah.
And then it made me think though, I don't think we have like, or maybe I might be wrong, but do we have like tornado preparation with our servicemen and women?
It's really not a big thing in South Africa.
Yeah, so I doubt we're prepared.
I don't think we are.
I remember there being one years ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere. That's how long ago it was.
Well, this is very scary.
But you know, in the States, when something like this happens, emergency services are rolled out. There are warnings. You are told what to do and what not to do. Yeah, in South Africa, I don't really think that's the case.
Yeah, all I know is to drive away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get away, but not like those people who wait for it to come really close. And okay, all right, Peggy Sue, we're going. Turn on the car now and get the hell out of here. It's getting awful close to our truck. Oh, hell, it looks like it's lifting up the back end of our truck. We're not going to make it. Oh, shit.
Exactly that.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's why I was so stunned to see various videos of this tornado. I'm thinking, why are y'all standing around? You should be going the opposite direction to where this thing is going.
You can't outrun those things.
Yeah, but at least move. People are literally standing.
See, the problem in America is they're used to this. They build their houses out of timber, and then they have stone basements.
Yeah.
So they go and they hide in the basement. And here in this country, we build our whole house like the... Which one? The... Which...
The third pig.
The third pig. We built our houses out of bricks.
Yes.
You lost me there for a moment.
You didn't know about the third pig?
No, I was like, where are you going with this analogy?
What did the first...
The first one made it a straw.
Right.
We still do houses in straw. Well, and then the wolf
puffed and blew the house down. Mm-hmm. Then the second one built his house out of...
Jeez, I'm trying to remember. Wood or sticks?
Sticks. Oh, okay.
And he puffed and blew that one down, but he couldn't blow down the third house.
The brick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That motherfucking pig was ahead of the game.
But he was also just a show off.
His teeth were sharp, his gums were raw, and spit was dripping from his jaw.
I don't remember that.
Revolting Rhymes.
Yes, The Three Little Pigs.
I
performed it in primary school at the Stateford.
Please, can you give me some more?
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Love it.
That even rhymes so far.
Come on, we got to find this thing.
What I love.
I'm going to find it right
now.
His teeth.
Let me just find it for you.
Were sharp.
God, it's great. You know that book, Revolting Rhymes, was like my childhood Bible.
Oh, it was lovely. And when you do it in a in a choral verse situation with a whole bunch of people.
Choral verse.
Have you found it?
Yes, the animal I really dig above all others is the pig. Pigs are noble, pigs are clever, pigs are courteous, however. Now and then, to break this rule, one meets a pig who is a fool. What,
for example, would you say if strolling through the woods one day, right there in front of you, you saw a pig who'd built his house of straw?
Ha!
The wolf who saw it licked his lips and said, "That pig has had its chips. Little pig, let me come in. No, no, by the hairs on my chinny chin chin, then I'll huff and puff and blow your house in." The little pig began to pray, but Wolfie blew his house away.
Just like the
he shouted, "Bacon, pork and ham. Oh, what a lucky wolf I am." And although the pig, he ate quite fast, he carefully kept the tail till last. Wolf wandered on a trifle bloated. Surprise, surprise, for soon he noted another little house for pigs, and this one had been built of twigs. Little pig, let me come in. No, no, by the hairs on my chinny chin chin, then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. The wolf said, "Okay, here we go." He then began to blow and blow. The little pig began to squeal. He cried, "Oh, wolf, you've had one meal. Why can't we talk and make a deal?" The wolf replied, "Not on your Nelly." And soon the pig was in his belly.
Beautiful. Keep going.
"Two juicy little pigs," Wolf cried.
I'm not quite
satisfied. Mm-hmm. I know how full my tummy's bulging, but oh, how I adore indulging. So creeping quietly as a mouse, the wolf approached another house. A house which also had inside a little piggy trying to hide. "You'll not get me," the piggy cried. "I'll blow you down," the wolf replied. "You'll need," pig said, "a lot of puff, and I don't think you've got enough." Wolf huffed and puffed and blew. The house stayed up, as good as new. "If I can't blow it down," Wolf said, "I'll have to blow it up instead. I'll come back in the dead of night and blow it up with dynamite."
Oh.
Pig cried, "You brute, I might have known." Then picking up the telephone, he dialed as quickly as he could the number of Red Riding Hood. Mm-hmm. Hello,
I remember
she
the
said,
telephone.
Who's speaking? Who? Oh, hello, Piggy. How do you do? Pig cried. I need your help, Miss Hood. Oh, help me, please. Do you think you could? I'll try, of course, Miss Hood replied. What's on your mind? A wolf, Pig cried. I know you've dealt with wolves before, and now I've got one at my door. My darling Pig, she said, my sweet, that's something really up my street. I've just begun to wash my hair, but when it's dry, I'll be right there.
A short while later, through the wood,
came striding brave Miss Riding Hood. The wolf stood there, his eyes ablaze and yellowish like mayonnaise. His teeth were sharp, his gums were raw, and spit was dripping from his jaw. Once more the maiden's eyelid flickers. She draws a pistol from her knickers. Once more she hits the vital spot. Bang! And kills him with a single shot. Pig, peeping through the window, stood and yelled, "Well done, Miss Riding Hood." "Ah, Piglet, you must never trust young ladies from the upper crust. For now, Miss Riding Hood," one notes, "not only has two wolfskin coats, but when she goes from place to place, she has a pigskin travelling case."
Oh.
What a great story. Oh, God, I love Roald Dahl.
The end.
Sleep tight.
Listen, I tell you what, if you've got kids and you don't read them Roald Dahl, it's child abuse.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Right up. I think it is the most important stuff I read as a child.
That is my whole childhood right there.
Oh, God, I love it. And, you know, I could read that stuff now, and I probably should to my nephews. I think I bought them a Roald Dahl set, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I bought Luke, when he was 3. I bought him that set of books. I hope his parents haven't fucking thrown them away. You know, they're so unreliable. I hope they haven't thrown them away.
Not that they're unreliable, but seeing how one of my sister's parents, she's so practical.
One of your sister's parents?
How
she parents.
Yes. Okay. She's very practical because, like, you get so much stuff and you accumulate so much stuff. And if your child is only interested in it in like for 3 seconds, why bother keeping it?
But you can't throw Roald Dahl away.
I mean, well, what if the child isn't interested? Oh, okay. Clearly I've hit a Roald Dahl.
You haven't
nerve.
I still have my storyteller books from when I was preschool and primary school.
If you haven't read Roald Dahl books, you need them. You need them in your life. Seriously, you have to have. Immediately, you have to stop everything you're doing and get some.
What is your favorite Roald Dahl story?
Hold on. Oh. No, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Ah, you win.
Sure, I watched the documentary on him yesterday.
Hold on. What was my favorite what? You asked.
Roald Dahl.
Well, there were so many. Okay, I loved George's Marvelous Medicine. I loved The Witches. I loved The BFG. I loved Revolting Rhymes. I loved The Twits. I loved Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator. I liked Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Bogus Bunsen Bean. One fat, one short, one lean. These horrible crooks so different in looks were nonetheless equally mean.
Oh.
I remember all of this stuff. God, I loved it. Oh, man. There was something else, too. Anyway, those are the ones I can remember.
Willy Wonka was a man after my heart.
You know, that Johnny Depp portrayal of him like a Michael Jackson type character was so weird.
I didn't like that. Yeah,
so weird. It was disturbing.
Mm.
Oh, hi, children. Mm-mm. I would like to welcome you to my factory.
No.
I didn't like that.
That sounds like Michael Jackson.
It did.
Well,
exactly.
That's it.
It's so weird.
I like the original. I was like, yeah, that's that I could picture.
All right, so what were you saying about Epstein? You watched a documentary.
Yes, an ABC 60 Minutes documentary. And it focused on two women who have been crucial in bringing him to justice before he died and now carrying on the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finally being heard. But wow, these women were abused. The one stands in front of one of Jeffrey's mansions in New York, and she's shaking and crying because she remembers how much badness went on behind those doors.
Mm. Well,
including in that particular mansion with Prince Andrew.
Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you what, these people are revolting. And the fact that no one in the law enforcement thing is busy doing anything about this Epstein murder.
No, they are now.
Yeah, but it's we know who the people are who would benefit the most from taking him out. They should be knocking on those people's doors.
So the search is on in full for his partner, Glenda, or what was her name? Just to hear, I mean...
So did you see the story about how, I think it was ABC, how they squashed the story?
No.
All those years ago? Yeah. The one woman who was, she'd done all the homework. She'd gone and researched everything around Epstein. She had witnesses. She had the story wrapped up. She was ready to deliver it. And ABC squashed it. They were like, nope, we can't do this.
Oh.
You know why? Because they were
under the thumb.
It was Clinton. And they interfered. This thing must be, I'm sure Bill Clinton's sweating like a pedophile on a school bus right now because he knows they're closing in on him, right?
That's a little too close of an analogy to use in this
case because Epstein was a pedophile.
What's the background of these two ladies?
You know the picture, the photograph of Prince Andrew with his arm around a blonde girl? Yes.
Is that on the
That's
yacht?
That's her. This is her.
Wow.
She was with him from the age of 14. She herself had been 14. Molested and raped during her childhood. And so she was just a very vulnerable type of person. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he said, she met him, I'm trying to think where she met him, at a resort, I think, where she was, he said, we'll teach you how to do massages. And she explains how right from the beginning she had to massage his back, and then after half an hour he would turn over and she would need to take off his clothes. And this happened 3 times a day. He had women in these condos.
Are you talking about Prince Andrew now or Jeff Epstein?
Jeff Epstein.
Oh, God.
She was called, I don't know what the word they used, to... Prince Andrew 3 times on 3 different occasions. And she said there would be all these rich men around, and they hardly even spoke to the girls, but there were thousands of them.
As it hardly spoke to them, but they were just used.
Yeah, they were just used. And this girl, the final straw for her was Jeffrey and his partner wanted her to have a baby. But they wanted her to sign papers saying this baby isn't mine; it's your guy's baby.
Oh no! So that
she was just so scared. She said yes, okay, that sounds fine.
They were eventually trying to make children to raise in the sex cult.
Who knows what they would have done to those kids?
Oh, horrible!
Sorry,
the younger Jeffrey always said the younger the better. So there were girls between the ages of 12 and 17. But they got younger and younger every year. And he would send these girls to recruit other girls.
Yeah.
So she said to them, okay, but please can I go to Thailand to learn massage like you said you would teach me?
Yeah.
And then I'll come back. And in Thailand, she met a really down-to-earth Australian guy, told him the story. And for the first time ever, somebody said to her, it's wrong. No one had said to her that it was wrong. And they got engaged after 3 days and married after 10.
This is with the Australian dude.
Yeah, and he took her back to Australia, and they've been married for 17 years now, and they've got 3 kids.
Two questions for you quickly. The first is, so Jeffrey had a longtime partner?
Yes. She was initially his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And she knew about...
She was the head recruiter.
She's probably into it like him, you know? I mean,
she would send a private jet off with girls to go and recruit other girls.
And then secondly, earlier this week you spoke about watching that other documentary, Pervert Park. Yes.
Yeah.
And how even just chemically and with the brain and neurons and whether they connect and how they connect, someone can be born a pedophile.
Yes.
Did you watch this with new sympathy?
Eyes. I watched it with new eyes. And no sympathy because...
How are you not sympathetic when Jeffrey could be...
Because he was so brutal and it wasn't one incident. It was thousands upon thousands.
But as well, if it's with a mind and he's a born pedophile, to him there's nothing
It wasn't just that he was a pedophile. This guy had huge cash resources. and he had an island and he was grooming girls. And it was like a big operation. It was like a factory for pedophilia, but also for taking semi-adult and adult women against their will because they were brainwashed.
Yeah.
So it's not just...
He was a sex trafficker as well.
The pedophile part of it's just a part, right? This Jeffrey Epstein also was grooming adult women. He was making women recruit other women. It was just a sick... Like, and you see, this is where also, I think when you look
I was just playing devil's advocate, yeah.
We discussed with Pumi yesterday about how these really, really wealthy people just have these lives that are unimaginable to us. I reckon they get bored.
That's it. It's complete boredom.
And when they're bored, they start doing things that are just morally revolting to the rest of humanity. But they feel, like, because they're so rich, they can get away with it.
Well, they can have all the normal sex they want, and then they get bored of that, and they want something more sinister.
Who would want to have one-on-one, missionary-style sex with even the most beautiful people in the world if you could have a sex island and you could up the ante, you know? I'll tell you what, it's very scary what can happen to people. Now, I don't think any of these people had a genuine problem to start off with. I think they had a predilection for something. Like it turned them on. And then that became something that they, between them, made acceptable. And so it was safe on Jeffrey's island, for example, or in his apartment. There was this, you know, Prince Andrew would probably get a WhatsApp or whatever from him, and they'd be like, oh, let's go around there.
He had another one in Paris.
Yeah, see, and they'd go and do this, and it became a fun thing that they were all doing. And eventually you think, well, we've got away with it for a year or two. Let's keep adding to the party.
And
let's
he was caught at one point and charged with sex trafficking.
That's right.
And he was jailed for a year, but listen to his jail. Oh, it's a blind, I was wondering.
You thought it was jail.
This is his jail sentence. He was in jail for a year. He actually only had to sleep there at night.
Yeah, the rest of the time he was allowed out.
For 8 hours a day, he was out. And he had a condo nearby where his partner just had girls lined up and he would go and have sex with them all day and then go back to prison.
Look, I do think he sounds like he did have a problem. Like he was totally addicted to sex and he was totally addicted to sex with underage girls. And there is probably some kind of psychosis involved there. But
wow,
it's just the... And it, you know... This is all going on, and people are joking now, and I'm also passing around these Epstein didn't kill himself memes, but there's no way that this guy took himself out. There's no believable, conceivable way. There are too many powerful people who would have had something very big to lose.
And there are too many facts leading up to the incident. Firstly, the lights were turned off. Mm-hmm. Secondly, he was taken off of suicide watch.
The cameras were switched
off. Thirdly, the cameras off. His prison cell... mate was removed.
Yeah.
There happened to be no guards near his cell at the time.
Hillary Clinton came in with a cake.
She came in with a cake.
Yeah.
And which had an AK-47 inside.
Right.
This is fascinating to me, taking it to its core, that who knows what we're all capable of. So if we really do boil it down to, oh yeah, they had a predilection and they just happened to be bored and now they're looking for the next and it escalates to this. I really do think then we all have, who knows what we have inside of us?
The potential.
We are one moment away from being a murderer. We are then...
Speak for yourself.
We don't have,
clearly,
we don't have
clearly
the
we're
makeup.
All in this, in this
see, I don't
bucket.
Speak, you speak for yourself. You're no. a, you just because you're a sicko and you want to make it okay for you to behave.
You need
bad.
To start by being mentally unstable in some way.
Oh, but guys, I feel like you're going back on what you've said.
Guys, okay, a couple of things before, because we've got to get to the news headlines. We've got so much to do today. I always say that, but today I mean it. Let's quickly look at the headlines. This is important. So first story for this morning is Kelly Kumalo, and she's spoken out about Senzo Muyiwa. People have decided they want me guilty. This is also suspicious because there's no one, you know, no one seems to be, everyone was hugely upset when Senzo Muyiwa was murdered. And I remember that funeral, and I still tweeted at the time because I used to be on Twitter then, said, who's paying for this expensive funeral for Senzo Muyiwa? Because the whole nation was in apoplexy about this guy. And then what happens? A couple of months later, nobody gives a shit. This is what drives me insane about all these people on social media who get so outraged all the time. Give them a week and they've moved on. Don't care anymore. So Kelly Kumalo has hit back at ongoing accusations. Remember we had her in here a while ago and I brought this up with her. Remember?
Yeah, she's never like flat out discussed it.
No, and she's been accused of terrible things like witchcraft and all kinds of things. So she has hit back at the accusations saying she's responsible for the death of Senzo Miyua, claiming people have already decided she's guilty. Senzo, of course, was shot in an alleged botched robbery at Kelly's mother's home in Fos Lares in 2014. The killer is yet to be arrested. Speaking to ENCA on Tuesday, Kelly said the Court of Public Opinion had already made its ruling against her. Here are her exact words. I've spoken about the Senzo issue so many times, but people have decided they want me guilty. They have decided, so why defend myself? They must believe what they want to believe. Kelly said she and God know the truth, and she would not be shaken by the opinions of others. I have to say that when someone starts talking like that, I start getting suspicious. Because when you just abdicate, I mean, if you really are being accused of something hideous and heinous, you never give up fighting.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say, well, God and I know the truth.
Believe what you want to believe.
The only people who ever say, God knows the truth. I'm not saying, you know, I think she's guilty. What do I know about this case? But when you talk like that, it makes me suspicious. One thing I will never do is protect anyone who killed my daughter's father. At what expense, she said. Anyway, AfriForum last week announced it would launch an investigation into the murder, and a Sunday Independent report over the weekend claimed police covered up the murder and that the lead investigator, Colonel Bongani Gininda, had withheld crucial evidence. The claims denied by the police. Social media is filled with reaction, and soon her name topped the Twitter trends as people started weighing in. Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. And from ENCA this morning, Zuma says he has nothing to hide from SARS. Then why don't you just hand it all over? Because SARS are not being very open about what his tax returns look like. Former President Jacob Zuma says he has nothing to hide. This as a court set aside a subpoena requesting SARS commissioner to hand over Zuma's tax information. Public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane is seeking access to the former president's tax records following the DA's request to see Zuma's SARS statements. The party claims he received benefits which he did not declare. I would love to see that. Wouldn't you like to see his tax? Because I bet you he didn't pay any. And this is the irony, right? This is the guy who was at least in part responsible for the shit we find ourselves in now. You know, you could blame in 1998, for example, you blame the world financial crisis. All of our problems in South Africa, all of them, because you can look at Angola and Zimbabwe, not Zimbabwe, Angola, Mozambique, what are the other major countries that are doing really well from a growth point of view at the moment? Rwanda. You look at all these other sub-Saharan African countries that do have competent, or at least governments that are not standing in the way of money flows and are not horribly, horribly corrupt. And they're all growing. Somewhere north of 6% in some cases. Our disaster is at least partly because of Jacob Zuma directly. And the irony is ordinary taxpayers were paying, and this guy was probably not.
He was spending.
He was stealing their money. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. And then internationally, CNN report, Disney Plus has launched and then it crashed.
Oh, that must have pissed them off so much.
Disney fans looking to enjoy all the content the company's new streaming service had to offer were instead greeted by error pages, starring Disney's own Wreck-It Ralph.
Someone was fired.
Yeah. Unable to connect to Disney Plus, one error page which showed Wreck-It Ralph holding a Wi-Fi signal read, there seems to be an issue connecting with Disney Plus. Another error depicted Mickey Mouse and his dog Pluto as forlorn astronauts looking off into space.
Oh dear.
So Disney Plus off to a pretty awful start.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
And people are just ruthless, eh?
Yeah, but you see, this also proves that it doesn't matter how much money you have or as a company, how connected you are and how much you've bought and you know, what infrastructure you're in charge of, sometimes you just can't get things working. In Hong Kong, again from CNN, they've been hit with a day of turmoil after a man was shot by police and another set alight following a confrontation with protesters in one of the most dramatic days in over 5 months of protests in Hong Kong. Some universities and schools shut on Tuesday as protesters and riot police faced off around the Asian financial hub. By 8 a.m., police had already fired tear gas in the city streets. At midday Tuesday, a few thousand people, including office workers and black-clad protesters, brought traffic to a standstill by occupying a major intersection in the central area of the city. You know, I've got a friend who lives in Hong Kong, and she keeps putting updates on her social media, and it's kind of harrowing to see. Like, this used to be one of the freest cities in the world, and now it seems like China's tightening its grip.
I'm getting a sense that we're sadly becoming numb to the story because it's been happening so long. This just happens all the time with news cycles. Not that we're insensitive.
No, but it's five months. We're not even listening anymore, right? Oof. So you got to keep an eye on Hong Kong. And then finally from the BBC this morning, because we take our headlines from everywhere.
Oh.
Hillary Clinton is under enormous pressure to run in 2020. Can you effing imagine? Crooked Hillary is seriously considering running.
You know, I think she's saying that herself.
I would love for her to run. I'd love for her to, first of all, ruin it for all the other Democrats, and second of all, for Donald Trump to just wipe the floor with her. And I'd love the whole Epstein story to come out at the same time.
There are a lot of people, like half of America, who are really upset that Trump's in power.
I know.
And if they had a choice...
I don't think they
will be a bad one. I think Hillary
would do a lot worse this time around. Well, she's the only one, as CSA says, who's saying never say never, right?
I think that's her. She says she'll probably said it in a public setting and said, been receiving so many messages.
I bet you.
So much pressure.
No one who's thinking about Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or any of them is going, I need crooked Hillary back in this race. Mrs. Clinton, who's 72, said she thinks all the time about what kind of president she would have been. Oh, you don't say. She wrote a book called What Happened.
Yeah.
Because she didn't even know what happened. She couldn't believe she isn't president. Didn't they find her wandering around in the woods near her house in Chappaqua, New York?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
If someone saw this crazy old lady wandering around the woods... They went up closer to see if she was all right. It was Hillary Clinton. Anyway, so she says she thinks about it all the time. The former Secretary of State, New York Senator, and U.S. First Lady replied, I think all the time about what kind of president I would have been and what I would have done differently and what I could have meant to our country and the world. Have you ever heard someone so full of themselves?
I watched
When you talk like that, what I could have meant to the world.
I watched an interview of hers on James Corden the other day, and you can tell that I think she's creeping back into center stage when it comes to attention. Like, I think she wants to come off very personable because she did the interview with Chelsea.
She was on with Chelsea?
Mm.
Okay.
She did James Corden.
Leanne, are you okay?
Oh, am I having a stroke?
I think you are.
No, because we've just
said that. Oh, did you say James Corden?
No, I think I said she had an interview on this television show hosted by James Corden.
I didn't hear the James Corden part.
You know, That's okay.
I don't know. I wonder how she and her team have gotten to this point to deciding this. Because I would have rather thought with, and I'm not even being condescending by saying this, with the little dignity she has left.
Ech, please.
Rather... stay away from the limelight and have that mystery of letting the public have wishful thinking.
Could have, would have, should have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she's addicted. She's addicted to power, and she also realizes this is the best way for her and for Bill to stay out of trouble.
Oh.
And then, of course, we have... Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary.
Yeah, of course. Crooked Hillary.
I didn't think about that.
Right. She wants them to stay out of trouble. It's like all these politicians who are in a hurry to get back into power. It's because they... Yeah, I'm telling you. Evil, evil people. And then one last story. We usually do the five things you need to know, but this morning there are six because I got this very urgent message from... who is this? I keep wanting to give credit. It's from Riggy Riggs. Riggy Riggs sent me this story. Zakhele Xolo won the World Masturbation Tournament in Canada.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
And he's South African.
No.
This is from my favorite website, which is called Toilet World.
Yes, oh, love that site.
What a trusted publication.
Toilet World, who also reported earlier this week that the reason that Black Coffee and his wife, Enclair, split up was because she would go around the house tightening mayonnaise jars. And he only has one arm, so, you know. Toilet World. Go to toilet.world for more.
So, I'm sure they're award-winning. I am certain they are.
So is it a South African site?
Yeah.
They've taken over from MyZimbabwe as the number one most trusted publication in the world.
But I love the way they've written this story, okay? Now, I don't know if there's a true, if there's an actual person who wrote this or whether it's just, you know, like a whole bunch of people in a comedy writing club or whatever. From the Springboks winning the biggest rugby tournament in the world, the Rugby World Cup for the third time and bringing it home, the Webb Ellis Trophy. Through their genuine camaraderie and the South African netball team winning the African Championships, and even a 14-year-old Hulani Baloyi getting a certificate in the African Spelling Bee competition.
Oh.
It has been a great time for South Africa. It seems like the run of victory continues. 27-year-old Zakhele Xulu came first in the overall World Masturbation Tournament hosted in Ontario, Canada.
Canada would never do this.
The strong South African beat 14 other hopefuls from 13 nations to win the Johnny Sins Cup.
My word.
Just look up whether that's a real thing.
I highly doubt it.
Practicing for years.
I don't want to type the word masturbation into my...
I would spend an average of 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, working towards honing my jerking skills, and eventually paid off when I came.
No.
In the early days, my dad would discourage me from doing this, and he would tell me how disappointed he was that I wasn't chasing women, but instead was wasting my time on demonic things. But I finally made him proud when I won this for my country. Dad, your son is a star, exclaimed the master masturbator.
You see, that's why.
I don't know what to...
What did you type into Google?
I'm not putting that word in.
Well, I did Google World Masturbation Tournament. And yes, this is a fake story because it's not popping up. But there's actually a masturbator-thon.
I'm sure there is.
Where?
It's an event in which participants masturbate to raise money for charity and increase the public awareness and dispel the shame and taboos that exist about this form of sexual activity. From 1998 to 2003, the Masturbatathon raised about $25,000.
That's not a lot for so many years.
Wait, where did this take
place? So it's a real thing?
In May of 1995, San Francisco-based sex shop Good Vibrations.
Yeah, that's terrific. I like that.
Okay, so we know that this particular story is not true.
But clearly there are others of the like. London hosted Europe's first masturbatathon on the 5th of August 2006.
So do they actually get together out in the open, or do they do it from home?
I'm trying to find out here. The masturbatathon, also called wankathon.
Sure. Calm down, Sia.
There were plans around it to broadcast it on Channel 4 as part of its Wank Week series. But those plans were abandoned.
Wank Week?
In 2009, Masanobu Sato won the Masturbatathon held by the Center of Sex and Culture in San Francisco after masturbating for 9 hours and 33 minutes.
What? That's amazing. Congratulations. What can you say?
Who's judging this?
How are you judging this?
Well,
where are you judging from?
Don't bring Santa Barbara into this.
Fantastic.
Eat it.
Apparently that is what they play as the opening theme for the World Masturbation
Challenge. The one did masturbate in front of a crowd.
Well, you know, some people don't have an issue with that. Jeffrey Epstein wouldn't have. Speaking of Epstein, Leanne Epstein's partner in crime is Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm listening to the podcast.
But they pronounce it Ghislaine.
And this shit, Ghislaine, right. And the shit is creepy and horrible. That's from Vinny. Yeah, Vinny, you're telling me. And apparently there is a brilliant podcast called Mysterious Mr. Epstein. It's fascinating and very disturbing. So you might want to listen to that. I think I might. Okay, that's the news.
Wow. I don't know about that sixth story that we needed to know this morning. Well, did we really need
go to toilet.world for more. I can't believe there's a site called toilet.world.
I'm actually going to go onto it now.
Oh, they got some funny shit there. It's not very thorough. It's not a very content rich site, but it's worth popping in and having a look.
Do you want just some of the headlines on toilet.world? Halala, Guyani woman gets married 3 days after responding to her Facebook inbox. Second article, watch Tembisa man finds a dove wearing Sangoma attire in his yard.
Oh no.
Just bizarre.
Rest in peace to the people who are listening to this show with their kids. That's according to Dips. Yeah, Dips. You know what? It's never a bad time to talk to your kids about what those sounds mean. And and Esco saying, yes, as I'm listening with my mum.
Hey, mom.
So there we go. Isn't that great?
Sorry.
Beautiful.
We touched on Black Coffee a bit. So yesterday from Black Coffee's side, he released a statement on what is happening with their relationship.
Did he mention
mayonnaise jars? No, he did not mention that. But he alluded to something that shows that there were some bigger problems in their marriage than we think so.
What marriage doesn't have problems?
Well, now they've taken it to court, and not just the divorce. I think there are like some abuse allegations, and this is just messy.
I know there's a lot of money to fight over there.
This is what Black Coffee posted yesterday, and he just said, this is a statement. After much deliberation since the story of our relationship broke in public, I wish to state that we have been trying to sort our problems amicably and in private for almost a year now, and has been the most heartbreaking and challenging period. He concludes by saying, as much as there's two sides to every story, I will not discuss our private life in public, let alone speak ill of my partner or my in-laws, as this can only hurt the people we both love dearly. As Mbali has stated, our priority are to protect our children at this point. This is now a court matter. We ask for privacy.
Oh my God, no!
Well, I just googled black coffee mayonnaise,
right.
And it turns out that's a thing. Putting mayonnaise into your black coffee.
Oh.
No.
It's called a short fat black or an espresso mayonnaise.
Can we not use the term short fat black?
I know, it's so bizarre.
Imagine going up to the counter in South Africa and going, I'd like to order a short fat black, please. And then they pull like Celeste and Thule out from behind the behind the counter.
Oh, God.
Or Anele.
And it's not short.
Not tall.
And there goes my career.
Max says, oh, please, this is your career. Max says, FUG, my speaker was unloud. During that. Sorry about that.
Ow!
A short, fat black.
Yeah, that's great.
Can we go and order that after the show?
Sure, we could try. I'm not going to drink coffee with mayonnaise in it. Ugh. That's revolting.
Oh, people with their coffee habits are so particular. I wish I had made a note of this, but when Patricio Buane came in here a couple of days ago,
he was great.
He was so particular about his coffee.
Well, he's
before
European.
His interview. Yeah.
Oh, was he? Because Italians in particular love their coffee a certain way. Didn't he have an espresso?
But he also mixed, we have different pods here.
Yeah, so
the different flavors.
He got two different ones.
And it was a ratio, and he translated the names. I thought they were just fancy names, but they mean something in Italian.
I know this sounds really pretentious and up my own ass, but while I was in Italy, I only had espressos, right? Because that's how they drink their coffee. You sit there, You have your little espresso saucer and your tiny little cup, and you sip on that. You don't add sugar. You don't add milk. You add nothing. You just have the coffee. It's the way they drink it. And mm-hmm. I felt very superior while I was doing this.
Very dignified.
And when I got back for a while, I was doing it, and I still do occasionally.
Mm. Apparently, it's okay to have a cappuccino in the morning.
No,
but not the rest of the day.
Yeah, my parents have this really nice machine that makes a pretty good espresso. So often when I go there, I'll have these little espresso cups, and you know, they have what they call the crema, which is that layer. It almost looks like you've added milk to it, but it's just the coffee.
A little bit of foam.
Yeah, it's very nice. So that's very good. So yeah, if you can get that right, you look a little bit more refined, I suppose, in Italy.
So I missed out on the whole coffee culture thing. I can't drink coffee.
You missed out on Patrizio as well, didn't you?
No, I was here.
You were here. You didn't make a move?
No, he's happily married, and he's got a two-month-old baby.
When did that ever stop anyone?
As one of my friends would say.
He's got far too much energy. He would drive me mad.
One of my friends would say, that woman is not a mountain.
We have got a lot of interest in Leanne Moll since we've started to...
Oh, my gosh. Bow. Gareth, I can't believe what you've done.
Bow. Bow, chicka bow, bow.
Now I'm getting messages on Facebook and things.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down, Sia. Calm down.
I'm so happy for you, Leah.
Go on.
I'm not.
Why?
Suck a muck of this.
I don't know where this message
These are not the guys that you want?
No, it's just a bit invasive. I've got people saying they want to take me on a date, take me for a drink.
Sure.
Ain't gonna happen.
No, I know. Why? You won't go on those. I know you.
Mm-mm.
Gord would.
Yeah, well, he has.
Yeah, Gord's taken out people who've messaged the show. And by the way, if you're wondering where Gord is, he couldn't make it today, but he'll be back next week.
I've gone on a date with a listener before.
He obviously
before.
He's got his one thing he's got
to
do.
Yeah, that he's preoccupied with, yeah. In my, I think it was 20...
You went out on a date with someone who listens to the show?
2015 or I went on a date with a listener.
Oh. When I was Tindering.
I haven't ever done that.
No, but then, it was just I didn't find it awkward. It was.
No, I can't.
They
do
feel
that.
Like they know me, and then I got to know them.
I find it very awkward.
What? You're being inappropriate.
Yeah.
Oh, whoopsie.
I've been, when I was Tindering, and it got down to, what do you do, and all of that type of thing, I would always lie and say I was a journalist or something, even though I am, but yeah. Or if they figured it out, it would always be, oh my God, you're Leanne Moll from whatever radio station. And the next question would be, what's Gareth like?
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
Yes, all right.
Do you feel awkward about that?
Very.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's very awkward.
I'd prefer it if people didn't know me at all.
Two quick things before we get to, 7 o'clock and we have to get into some stories and all the rest of it. You can get hold of us, by the way, 0797482090. Would you guys like to talk to someone about the swinging lifestyle? I know it's something that Leanne has spoken about before. Because we've got someone who's doing a show on, I think it's CakeNet, and these swingers and their lifestyle. I think we should have her in here.
Okay.
So
it's so weird because just yesterday I received a new friend request from
a swinger.
The head of the swinging community Pretoria. There's
the head of the swinging community?
I dated him.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, light the cigarette. Wow. Oh, you have lived.
And I don't know why.
Ooh, Leanne.
I don't know why we were never Facebook friends before.
Not just a casual swinger, you dated the head swinger.
Wow.
Well, obviously, didn't date him exclusively.
What?
Yes.
For how long?
A few months.
Well, let's pick this up when we get get this woman in to talk about the swinging lifestyle. Nadine says, "I'll take some of your overflow guys, Leanne." Nadine says, "I've been on Tinder, bunch of wackos. Try Bumble; it's much better quality of men."
I actually am on Bumble, and I can't get off.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I keep getting notifications, and I've tried to cancel my...
get off.
You can't get off.
I still can't get off.
It's so immature.
All All right. Well, the other thing I wanted to tell you is I had a very pleasant lunch yesterday with Ben Karpinski.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we had we caught up, and he's going to come and make the odd appearance here on the show because he knows that people want him around, and we like having him. So Ben will be around a little bit more, which is very good.
Very
news.
Good.
Very.
He's still entrenched in his work.
Yeah, he's having a lot of fun. And, you know, he's single now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's also he's also dipping his toes into the world of dating, which we were just talking to Leanne about.
Yes.
And that's funny, too. So I think there's plenty worth discussing with him. And we'll continue these discussions after 7 o'clock. We've got some news for you. We've also got the guys from Grovest popping by to tell us a little bit about how to invest in Section 12J companies. So much to do. And I've got a big guest interview on Friday with Basitsana Khumalo, which is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Had her in here on, what was it, Tuesday, Monday?
Monday, yes.
She's just terrific.
Do you want to talk about the one we're recording today?
We can get into that later.
Okay.
There's a couple of good interviews coming up. I know people. Why isn't there new material when it comes to the interviews? You know, what we want to do is only focus really on the big stuff now so that we don't waste your time. Less is more. There was a stage where we were doing an interview every single day. Mm. It was exhausting for me. It was not necessarily something that you couldn't listen to all of it. It's too much.
Yeah.
So we've just pared back on some
quality, not quantity.
That's
and
it.
Ask and you shall receive.
Correct. CliffCentral.com.